Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 18. If you're there, say amen. The Bible says, be careful. Everybody say careful. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but wise. I could probably just preach on that today, but we're going to be preaching on the Holy Spirit. Making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Man, oh man. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine. Can I get a witness? Which leads to debauchery. Debauchery, if you don't know, it is an absence of restraint. All right? Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Lord, we come before you this morning. And Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you that we have opportunity. I thank you, Lord, that, Lord, we drag ourselves in here, Lord, beat down by the evil that surrounds us, Lord, sometimes enticed by the evil that surrounds us. But, Lord, you give us opportunity to move a new way. Lord, I thank you by your Spirit that you do a work in us, filling us, guiding us, directing us, Lord. Lord, we want more. Lord, we're looking for more in this life. Lord, I have found it to happen in you. And I give you praise, Lord, that you would guide us into that this morning. I ask that in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, 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 amen. Well, perhaps if you have been shopping for a brand new car. Anybody out there shopping? Los niños abajo. Yeah. Now, I have not been shopping for a brand new car, but I heard about them. I heard about this new thing, driving assistance. And maybe you've seen an ad, you know, and you hit a button and your car will parallel park for you. Have you seen that? You know, I was looking at this is the BMW. It's hard to see, but the BMW early warning system. And they got a front-end collision warning. Watch out, you're going to wreck. That'd be a good thing to know. Amen? Wreck impending. Pedestrian alert. Watch out, somebody's watching. Lane departure, they got you if you're going too fast. It can even tell if it's raining and help you out. Now, you're thinking, how does it do that? Well, it's got cameras in front. It's got cameras in back. It's got cameras on the side. It's got ultrasonic sensors. Man, oh, man. It's got radar, environment perception. And so as you're driving along, your car is paying attention to stuff you might not be paying attention to. Sometimes that's good. Can I get a witness on that? When you're going too fast, it'll tell you, and it'll slow you down if you're coming into an accident. But it's something you kind of got to get used to. Because we're all used to driving on our own. Some of us walking on our own. But because of that, there is an option on every driving assistance system to turn it off. Because sometimes we just want to drive on our own. Amen? We're in a series called Finding Fullness in Christ. And it is for those who are driving alone. Amen? Our focus, our vision in this church is that you would find fullness in Christ. That you would stop driving alone. That you would even pay attention to the pastor while he's preaching. Can I get a witness on that? Now, finding fullness in Christ, I've been talking about this the last several weeks. Three primary areas where we want you to find your fullness. Number one, fullness in your relationship with God. That as you reach a dynamic, as you reach a trust, as you let him drive. Thank you, Aaron. Lunch for him today. Put him on the list. Fullness in your relationship with God has to do with trust. How much of me am I going to give over to my Lord, right? And he will make you better. He will make you into a better person. Anybody found that to be true? Yes. He makes you better, and so, because he makes you better, you are able to have more fullness in the relationships with those people that are around you. You get greater fullness in Christ, you're going to be a better dad. You get greater fullness in Christ, you're going to be a better husband, spouse, friend, whatever it may be. He will fill you up so that you can grab onto him so you can stop trying to get from other people what they weren't put here on this earth to give you. Two lunches for that man. Put it on. There you go. Last thing. Fullness in expression of how God has made you, because you are fearfully and wonderfully made, that he has crafted you. He made you with gifts that nobody else has so that you can glorify him and so that we can come together and we can serve one another and we can be a light in this community. Amen? All righty. Now, we have four principles that we work on so that you can find fullness. Number one, this is what we've been focusing on in this series, we depend on God. And the more you depend on him, the fuller you're going to be in your life. Number two, we're going to try and develop you. Number three, we're going to be a display of God's love. And number four, we desire the presence of God. I'll tell you what, this is a supernatural thing that we do. I can get up and talk. You can go to a Kiwanis meeting. You can go to all kinds of places. But here, we want to experience the supernatural presence of God and be transformed by his work. Amen? Amen. All right. So, question today, as we talk about becoming full in Christ and full in God, is how full are you? And how full do you want to be? Last week, we talked about finding our fullness by relying upon the Word of God. And I hope you spent some time in that. And I hope daily you got filled up. Because God's purpose is that you would be filled. The part of the work of the Holy Spirit is to come into this place and transform your existence. Now, today, we're talking about that first thing on that list, depending on God. And as we look at that, there's two aspects of that. Number one, we rely upon the Word. And this is the most concrete way that you are going to have to grab onto the kingdom of God. Now, it's only going to work for you if you open it up. Amen? You are going to need more of this than just hearing me once a week or twice a week. In fact, many of you grabbed those reading logs last week. On Wednesday night, we go through the New Testament section of those reading logs. I invite you to come and to be part of that. Now, when we come to the Holy Spirit, it's a little less tangible. It is a little bit more of a challenge to be led by the Spirit. It's kind of like turning on that driver assist. It takes you a minute to get used to it. Can I get a witness on that? Amen. Now, we're going to talk about being led by the Spirit. We're going to do it in two parts. Next week, we're going to talk about following the Spirit. Today, we're going to talk about understanding the Spirit. And the title of today's message is The Work of the Spirit. Because he'll do a work in you. Amen? All right, let's take a look. We're going to be all over the place. We're going to start talking about the change that the Holy Spirit works in us, and we're going to go back 600 years before Christ to the prophet Ezekiel, and he is writing to a people that are broken. God speaks to them. He says, I will take you out of the nations. I will gather you from all the countries and bring you back into your old land. I will sprinkle clean water on you. And you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from your idols. I'll give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. See, God's people are changed by God. And the prophet Ezekiel is prophesying in Babylon where God has dispersed his people because He is bringing judgment upon them because of their idolatry. And this message goes out to a people who have lost everything, telling them that God is not done with you yet. Is that a good message? That's a good message, right? If you come in here dragging low today, God is not done with you yet. Hallelujah. Ezekiel is talking to these people, and he's speaking the words of God. Babylon has come and destroyed Jerusalem, destroyed the temple, and they're at such a low point. So where can I go? And God speaks to them. And he does this miraculous restoration through Cyrus the Great, and they are freed to go back and rebuild the temple and rebuild Jerusalem. And with all that, a reestablished people with these promises and all that kind of stuff, they are still not able to line up on God. Jesus comes and walks amongst them, and they reject him. John chapter 1, verse 11 says, he came to that which was his own, but they did not receive him. God's chosen people reject him, but he's not done yet. We go to the very next verse, verse 12. He says, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. You come in here today and you are looking to get filled up. God is not done yet. See, the Holy Spirit doesn't work in Jerusalem. Holy Spirit doesn't work in City Heights. Holy Spirit will do a work in you. But you got to want it. Amen? All right, let's keep going. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church in Ephesus, says, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, that's key. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. He's a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession through the praise of his glory. Now, God's family, it's a spiritual family. Can't just get in on your own. Jesus comes and gives us an invitation. You get that invitation, you receive that invitation, you got two options. You can accept it or you can reject it. Now, his people said, no, we're not interested. We got other stuff going on. See, and you know what? Jesus ain't going to force you into his family. But because the Jews rejected that invitation, it made room for the rest. Anybody a Jew here today? No Jews in the house. See, because the Jews said no, God said, I got some room in my family. See, I ain't done yet. See, it's not like the will of God is going to thwart the work of God, amen? And so the Jews say no, and he says, I'm going to find somebody who's going to say yes. And you come in here this morning empty. God's not done with you yet. Holy Spirit will do a work in you today, transforming you, and never stop working. Hallelujah. For you to move into this new life, it is necessary for you to move out of your old life. Here comes the word. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. It says, Peter, an apostle of Christ Jesus, to God's elect, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit. That's an ongoing work. It takes a lifetime. To be obedient to Christ and sprinkled with his blood. See, it is the Holy Spirit who's going to transform us from what we were into what we will be. How many people in here in a work of transformation today? Amen? It's something you never reach the end of the line. As you move into the new life, old has got to go. It is the sanctifying work. How many of you ladies got your nails done this week? Hold them up just like this. Anybody? Fingers done? What? Nobody? Toes? Anybody got? Oh, Leanne Metz got toes. Oh, there we go. Let's see those things. See, look at that. I don't even think that's all real Elsie there. Is there some fake Elsie there? Yeah. See, the Holy Ghost does that kind of work on us. Makes us pretty. Makes us look like Jesus a little bit more day by day. Amen? It's a good look. You're looking good, Elsie. Get that woman some lunch. Hallelujah. There's many things that happen when the Holy Spirit comes into your life, and we're going to be talking about them in the coming weeks. But what Paul's talking about here is a change of status, right? Talks about that seal, that guarantee. He writes about it as he writes to the Romans in chapter 8, verse 15. It says, the Spirit you received does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again, but rather the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba Father. Because of our part in the family, we get to participate in an inheritance. Hallelujah. I gotta turn this back up. I'm sorry. I so miss Danielle. I vote Danielle doesn't go on any more field trips. Talk about challenges. It's a challenging world out there, amen? We have been praying for Mauricio, who has contracted Parkinson's disease. And it's like 9 months, right? And it's progressing rapidly. Dave Ward, you want to come up here? Kind of a surprise. But Mike and I were able to take a hospital bed over there Friday and try and bless him. But last Sunday, stand in the light, buddy. Yeah, get that light. There you go. Put that mic right up there to your mouth, a little bit higher. There you go. Last Sunday, I talked to Dave, and I said, hey, Dave, you know, because he does in-home care, and his last client passed away. And I said, you know, Mauricio really does need some help, and Erica needs some help. And he said, nope, I'm getting a new job. I'm retired. I'm going a different direction. And it's okay. We kind of left it there. But that's not how it got left, right,
no,
Dave?
No.
So what happened during the week?
Well, we all know when God talks to Aaron, it's in the shower. Watching TV, listening to a program, having a good time. And God said, you said no? And I was like, who's talking to me now? And I looked up at the cross we have on the wall, and I said, I'm not listening, no. Well, he wasn't done, because at the end, I was sitting there crying, and I said, all right, Lord, I understand. You're sending me where I need to go again. I will go.
Amen. And you knew he was talking about Mauricio.
Yes.
You talked to Erica on Wednesday night.
And I talked to her on Wednesday, and when she's ready, I'm ready.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you. Now, that's not the first time you heard from the Lord, Dave. You said he's moving me again, right? You get used to that voice,
yes. Right?
But it's something you get used to. It is something he will direct you, he will fill you, he will move you, he'll do a work in you. But you got to let him do it.
Yeah.
Amen? Dave told me about that, and actually told George, and George told me, and I wanted to share that as we talk about the work of the Holy Spirit and how he will come and work in your life. Amen? All right, next thing I got for you, let's keep on moving. Is Holy Spirit coming near, and Dave was watching, Holy Spirit came near to him right in his TV room. We're going to take a look at John chapter 14. I'm going to read verses 16 and 17, and then 25 and 26. Jesus speaking to his disciples, says, I'm going away, and he says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. And he means another advocate like me, to help you and to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I have said to you. Jesus is introducing us to the Holy Spirit. And again, this is the tangible part and establishing that relationship with God, that supernatural relationship with the Holy Spirit, takes a little bit more effort and a little bit more work, and he'll do a work in you. Now, the Holy Spirit is our teacher and our counselor, and being our teacher, he wants to make sure that we have something that we can learn. Amen? And so, we talk about the Word of God, and the Word of God finds its source in the work of the Holy Spirit. Amen. 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21, above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy, this is key, prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit gives us this book and equips us to understand it, does a work in us through the Word of God. See, the Holy Spirit makes sure that we have truth, and then guides us into it. Can I get a witness on that? Now, Jesus, we know, is the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. And so the Holy Spirit, as Jesus says, he says that he's going to remind you of everything that I said. The Father will send the Spirit in the name of Jesus. And here we see the work of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit to fill you. He'll do a work in you. Move you right up on that line. New heart, new mind, new spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who is the active agent of the Trinity. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. Amen? As he walked the earth, his ministry was limited to his physical presence. Where he lived and where he walked was where he ministered. But the Holy Spirit is poured out on the church. The Holy Spirit does work worldwide. The Holy Spirit is at work in City Heights and would do a work in you. But only if you want. Amen? Let's keep going. 1 Corinthians. Chapter 2, verses 12 through 14. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. Let me read that again for you. The Spirit is from God so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness. Can I get a witness on that? Amen. Cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. And Paul is letting us know that this is not something that we can do on our own. Holy Spirit equips us to live in an entirely new way. Proverbs 16:25. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. And I want to let you know this morning that dying is not much of a living. Can I get a witness on that? And so the Holy Spirit comes that we might have life. Jesus comes that to give us that life and have it to the full. And without the Spirit, we can't get there. We are surrounded by people who mock the concept of new life in Christ. Bill Maher mocks Christ all the time. He's got a lot of friends. They mock the Spirit because without the Spirit, there's no way for them to get it. Question for you this morning is, how much are you getting it? How open to the work of God are you in your life? How full are you? The Spirit is leading. But how much are you following? See, some of us moving down that road pretty quick, skipping right on down. Yeah, hallelujah. Some of us not so quick, kind of dragging our feet a little bit. See, our past can slow us down. Truth is, sometimes we really just don't want to give it up. You know, God supernaturally delivered me from smoking in a dream. I still had withdrawals. Anybody feeling, getting angry out there? Really? What an easy kick. No, I had withdrawal. But it was in a dream. Now, it was something I couldn't do on my own. I was trying where you like wean yourself off the smokes. Is there a name for that? Weaning yourself off, kind of the trickle down. I don't know. No, I didn't know patches. I was too poor. But, you know, I was smoking about a pack and a half of Marlboro Reds a day. And I said, okay, I'm going to taper off. I'm going to quit. And I got down to a pack. And then three quarters of it, there's those of you, like my wife. What? My wife did smoke. Yeah. There's 20 cigarettes in a pack. So I smoke in a pack, got down to three quarters of a pack, half a pack, quarter pack, five smokes. Then four, then three, then two, then one. One cigarette a day. And I got to the day. And I said, nah, I don't really want to quit. Am I the only one? See, sometimes we just don't want to give it up. We just don't want to change. Holy Spirit, do a work. You've got to want it. All right. We okay? Oh, time's good. Hallelujah. Turn the air conditioner down. Let's just hang out. Spiritual is not natural. John chapter 4. Woman at the well. Talked about her on Wednesday night. Woman, believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation comes from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the spirit and in truth. All this work God does in and through you, he has expectations. Jesus is describing the goal. Goal is worship. Says that worship will not be confined to a location, but will be a work of the Spirit. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. That's you. To do what? To offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ Jesus. See, God is building his people to be a place of worship. Question for you this morning is, do you want to be a part of that? You know, some people hear, oh yeah, when we go to heaven, we're going to worship. That sounds kind of boring. I don't know if I really want to go. But if God's people are going to worship, you've got to worship in truth. You've got to have an accurate target. Why? Because there's false targets. Now, the biggest false target was looking at you in a mirror this morning. You'll get that later. All right. Matthew 24:24. False messiahs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and wonders to deceive even if possible, the elect. There's lies out there. That's why the Holy Spirit comes to do a work, because the devil's doing a work to try and get you off track. Worship yourself. Worship, what, I don't know, nobody worships the Chargers anymore, right? Nobody can worship the Padres. Can I get a witness on that? There's all kinds of stuff in this world that we can worship. Holy Spirit is here to say, no, that's not it. Sometimes you don't want to listen. If God's people are going to worship, they're going to have to worship in the Spirit. See, the worship that God's looking for is a supernatural worship. It's bigger than you. The Holy Spirit moves us in that direction so that we can fit in. I mean, some of you got here this morning and sang songs. Some of you got here this morning and stepped in the presence of your Creator. Everybody had the option of the second. But there's some things you've got to give up to step into the presence of your Creator. It's a supernatural step. The Holy Spirit will do a work in you to help you make that move. The question is whether or not you really want to do that. It's like that driver assistance. I just want to drive. It's like kicking smoking, man. I just want to smoke. I want to do my thing. And you know what God says? Go. You go, girl. You do what you want to do. I'll catch you later. Everybody is going to see Jesus at the end. It's appointed once for a man to die. In the judgment. Last thing I got for you. Galatians chapter 5, 16 and 17. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever it is you want. See, all this is different than we know. The life of the Spirit is different than what you know. The life of the Spirit is not what you're going to gravitate to without the Spirit to guide you into it. Without the work of the Holy Spirit, you can't get there on your own. Just me and Tommy having church. Our flesh. Now, flesh. All right. What? I had some steak last night. Is that what you're talking about? No. Flesh is a term that talks about all the things that has to do with the world, your carnal desires, all that kind of stuff. The natural man. Paul used the word flesh a lot. Are you with me on that? The natural man, all that bad stuff, all the stuff that you're not supposed to do that's in conflict with God. All right? You tracking with me on that? Thank you, Tommy. I'll do that. I will do that. Hallelujah. It is our flesh that slows us down. Right? It's our flesh that we grab onto. Now, the writer of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 1 says, let us throw off everything. Let us throw off that flesh that's slowing us down. Everything that hinders and the sin that will twist you up, tangle you up. It's like, oh, I'm all tangled up in this sin. Well, get it off of you. Let us cast off all that stuff that keeps us in the natural. Like Dave could have said, God, would you shut up? I'm watching TV here. Supernatural, looking to push into the natural man. And it's, you want it or not? You got too much going. If you got too much going on, see, Jesus comes with the invitation. You can accept it or reject it. You say no, he says, see ya. I mean, he's not capricious, but he's not forcing anybody into his family. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles so that we can run the race. It's not even your race. It's a race that he done marked out for you. Turn here. I kind of want to go straight, God. Go ahead, take that flesh and just toss it. Problem is, we often just kind of like it. Spiritual life comes spiritual challenge. Holy Spirit, help you win. Holy Spirit, challenge us to move where we need to move. Challenge us to move beyond what you are familiar with. Holy Spirit, come into your life and point to that stuff that you need to get rid of. Like a spiritual trainer. Pointing out new ways to live. Pointing out old things that need to go. So, you ready for change? What's holding you back? Holy Spirit continually pointing us towards life. Holy Spirit pointing us to that next step. Points you to that next step. If you've been walking for the Lord for 10 years, here's your next step. If you've been walking with the Lord for 10 days, here's your next step. He'll do a work in you. Question is whether or not you want it. If you want to come up and play. Holy Spirit is here to fill you up. Right here in this room. Dave's TV room, Aaron's shower. I don't know where he meets with you. He's in this place. He goes, there's no place that he is not. Question is whether or not you want him to do a work in you, because he's right there saying, hey, let's try this. This isn't working for you. See all the destruction in your life? Let's do this. Question is whether or not you want it. What's holding you back? That's his job. The work of the Spirit. Fill you up. Make you look more like Jesus. And so many of us like, I want to drive. I'm just going to turn that off. You're on your own. Lord, we come before you this morning, Lord. I figured I can't drive anymore. Kept on wrecking cars and wrecking lives and wrecking me. Lord, I thank you for assistance when I'm looking at a crash. And you say, slow down. Say, pedestrian coming, watch out. It's raining out there. Better slow down a little bit. Looking for all kinds of advice from the Lord this morning. He keeps me from getting lost. Keep me from breaking things up. You're here this morning. Whole lot of breaking going on. You're saying, oh, I need some assistance. You're here this morning. And the Lord is just kind of shouting at you. Like Dave. Finally heard it. Takes a couple days sometimes to get through. This morning, he is shouting at you, saying, you're breaking all this up. I'll come. I'll do a work in you. I'll show you how to go. I'll show you how to live. But you got to want it. You hear this morning. You hear this morning. And you have turned him off sometime. And this morning you say, Lord, it's not working out for me. I'm looking for some God assist today. I'm looking for a little more help in my steering, a little bit more help in my speed, Lord. In fact, Lord, if you want to just take over the whole steering, Lord, I'm good with that. Lord, I'll jump in the back seat. You can drive. You're here this morning, and the Lord is just speaking to your heart, and you're so tired. You feel like you're just like those chosen people that are out dispersed in captivity, saying, oh, Lord, bring me home, bring me home. I want to come home. I want to be part of your family. I want to be part of that inheritance, Lord.